Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to The Brew, and this week we've got a very special guest. We've got Mr. Stephen Howson and also some bloke called Fabrice Muamba.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Anyway, do you know, yesterday was 10 years since Fabrice Muamba's incident on the pitch.
10 years.
10 years.
It's flown by that, isn't it?
United were good when that happened.
We were good, weren't we? It's like a different world then, doesn't it?
It does seem like a different world.
Yeah. A lot of people in the comments asking about that and saying we should talk about it.
Well, we're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I put him on the thumbnail.
Yeah, innit? Do you know what I mean?
It'd be good if we had a mate to talk about it as well, like, but I know people assume that he's going to be here because he's on the thumbnail, but Marcus Rashford was on the thumbnail yesterday and he wasn't in it.
Fred was on the thumbnail this morning. I haven't seen Fred in weeks.
Ten Hag was on one yesterday.
Yeah.
Wasn't talking to him.
So I think people need to temper their expectations a bit, really.
Do you reckon Fabrice knows anything about the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup?
There's only one way to find out.
Yeah. Fabrice, do you know anything about the 1991 Cup Winners' Cup?
What's that? You asked me that, I said, what's that?
This is over.
No, fucking
nah, come on.
Hi, Stephen.
All right, mate. Thank you for joining us.
No worries, sir. Good to
how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
No, not at all.
Not going to just be morbid on here.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was a horrendous incident. I'm sure you remember it well.
Yeah.
But there is some good news this week, at least, as well, which is worth talking to you about. You're getting back into football.
Yes.
I'm not going to take all the credit for that, but I'm going to take a little bit. 75% of the credit for that.
Yes, I agree with you on that one.
That's generous of you.
Yeah. No, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So a couple of weeks ago, we got Fabrice back into football. I think is the way we say it. Prestigious job of temporary assistant manager for me.
What a game. What a game.
He texts me these things. Fabrice Muamba's helping me coach in the team this week, and I'm like, shut up.
You know the thing about it, yeah? The thing about it, yeah?
Like, you've been drinking.
No. The thing about it, I see him, yeah? He's very quiet. He Natasha is a different guy. I'm looking at thinking, oh my God, he's like...
Who the fuck said I was quiet?
Quiet.
No, seriously, like, he's very professional.
Right, okay.
And in Natasha, I'm like, wow, he's a different guy. You
know? And what's he like, Fabrice? Tell me what's
he like. And the best to last, right? One of the fans, I think, walked past him. You know what this guy did? Stick his leg out. And the guy, and he literally disrupted. He went crazy. I'm like, Okay.
You're calming influence on stage.
Do you know what? I meant to ask you, what did you do when it went off? Because there was like...
And everybody was going crazy.
Yeah. It was like a 20, 30 man sort of... It wasn't quite a brawl. It wasn't everyone punching, but it was like, it went off, didn't it? Both teams.
Everybody coming in.
There was fans in and everything. Stay. Was you just sat down?
I was just sitting there thinking, okay, this is...
Has this man not been through enough? About dragging him into fights in South Manchester or wherever you were.
But honestly speaking, I like how he carried himself in the touchdown because not everybody can control himself. You know? And they were coming for him from the moment the game started. Yeah. After Steven, everything that he did, they were just after him. And it takes somebody with a special skill to control himself because I would have just lost it there and then. But so even the result went according to the plan, but it was just good to see him in his element there. So I'm happy for him.
So on the back of us...
There you go. Anyway, yeah.
Fucking seeing whether Fabrice can get in a mixer and get in a 30-man brawl. he's got himself a little job at a little local club called Bolton.
Yes. Yeah. Tell us about that, Fabrice.
Now, we've been having a conversation in a while for Bolton, and I was wanting to go back and play the game and also help the kids. You know, for me, it's all about the next generation. And when the opportunity came around and to have a conversation with them, I couldn't turn it down, you know. And I think also me personally, I have a huge affiliation with Bolton, with the club, how they helped me during my trouble time. And I just feel like it was a no-brainer if the opportunity came around to see, you know, I have to take in both hands. Looking forward to getting back in there, get my hand dirty, and looking forward to coaching kids as well.
Has that been something over the last sort of 10 years you've been looking towards to eventually get back into football?
Yeah, not just that. Even when I stopped playing, I had my coaching badge. I spent time at Liverpool. I spent time at City. Spent time at Birmingham City. So I had moment in the pitch, but it just never come to terms of getting a job in a football club. So that can be a bit doubt. Can you almost doubt yourself as a person? But now, like, the opportunity came around to go back in your former club, and you know, I can't turn that down.
You're with the under-16s as well, isn't it?
Yes.
What a critical age that is as well.
Yeah, because that age is almost like make or break it really for most of these kids, you know. So 1 minute one of them can go further, other one or might not, you know, get taken out of the game. You never hear from them again. So for me, it was more about just trying to help them as much as I can and pass on my knowledge, what I've learned in the past, and hopefully we can get one or two footballers coming out of the academy.
I think there's the teams, especially Bolton Stach, and I've said this for a long time, I used to say Newcastle as a Premier League example, like, they're never really competing for the top world-class stars. Why not spend money on your academy? Transfer fees are so much now. You can bring through your own homegrown. It's rarely wasted money, is it, when you're spending your academy?
No, I agree with you, and I think that's why the attachment area we've got to look at into bringing a lot of kids from around Bolton to come into the academy. As I said, we're competing against Man United, Man City, Blackburn, Liverpool, Burnley. And Bolton used to be a cut one club. Now we're category three.
Three?
Yeah, because we're at Premier League. We don't have the facility as all the other clubs have. So for us, it's more about bringing young players. We'll definitely rely on the academy. We'll definitely rely on having good recruitment. And just about us as a coach is spend time with the boys, encouraging them and learn, teaching them the right way. And hopefully when they make their way to the first team, they'll be able to add value to the team and hopefully add more value in the market as well.
I'm glad you're back in the mix anyway. I thought even though the result didn't go to plan, I thought it was a real boost to my lads having you in the dressing room.
I enjoyed it because also to sit there, it reminded me of somebody, reminded me of myself. And I look at them thinking, wow, I used to be like this as well. You know? And then I really like when after the game, the celebration, I was like, boys, you just... At least how they're going around it. Next time you get to face them, or whenever it is you get to face them, just remember that feeling. And they also came up with the idea that we don't spend enough time together. We're a team, but we're not a team off the field.
Yeah.
That it takes real responsibility and people with character saying, you know what, we need to do better off the field as well. So, which is good.
It's good, man. Do get involved as well. There's a few people commenting, Fabrice.
Oh, there's loads of things we're going to get into. So we're going to talk about Big Sam.
Yeah.
Get involved in the chat. Coming through Arsenal's Academy with you. And then anything you guys want to get into as well. Should we start on that? Arsenal's Academy. Someone says you've got an interesting story how you got into the Arsenal Academy.
So, but how I got to the Academy, how I even got into going to train with the Academy, I had a friend who was already in the Academy. And he came from Sierra Leone. Very talented guy, very talented. I actually went to watch the game on Monday with him against Crystal Palace or Man City. And Arsenal were willing to do anything for him because he was that technically gifted. But Arsenal were more focused on technical players. And he came from Sierra Leone and his English wasn't the best. So I was in England already 4 years, so my English had become fluent. But he spoke French and I spoke French. And we helped each other in the classroom. And one day he said to me, oh, I play for Arsenal. I was like, all this long you and I sit down in the classroom, we talk, you never mentioned this to me.
Keep it on the low.
He's like, oh, I never really talk about it. I was like, okay. He's like, but if you want, I can take you to my coach. And he's like, do you want me to say, yeah, I can take you to my coach and you know, introduce to them and hopefully they can let you play.
Do you know how mental that is? Oh. I'll just bring you to a Premier League.
Yeah.
And the like that. Yeah.
I mean, what year is this as well? This was when Arsenal were good as well.
This where Arsenal were very
sort of peak
of it. Yeah. And then
just come training.
Yeah.
We arranged because where the training ground is to my parents' house is about 10 minutes walk. And from his house about 40 minutes. So we arranged to meet in the training ground and then from there make an introduction. And I walked in there, I was the first one in. He wasn't in there. So I walked in there and there's the academy coach there. They're like, hi, my name is Fabrice. My friend Rashid, who's here, and asked me to come and play football with you, though. can you imagine that? Somebody coming in here now.
Of course he did.
Hello, is that security? Or is that kid here again?
And they're like, they look at me weird, but because they were willing to do anything for Rashid, they're like, oh, okay, we'll let you have a train with us and that will be it for you. And I just took the most opportunity and I just graft. And then the moment that they saw me training, they're like, okay, we'll give you a 6-week trial. And then from 6 weeks, like, you're good, but you're not good enough for us. We'll keep you in the B team. And the B team, we had about 5 people. And then they're like, one of the guys in my position got injured at the A team. And I jumped in there. And from there, that was me.
That's a crazy story. Yeah. That you just like you turn up there. My mates are like, Rashid. Can I come and train? What was it like in the academy? Was anyone in that team around the same time that went on to do well?
I was year above. Jimmy Hara was year above me, and when we went to full time, now that's when we had Fabregas coming in, Nicolas Bentner. We had quite a lot of guys who've gone in and do well, and Johan Giroud, but. It was more of I realized that when you go to the academy level, in terms of like every single day, it's sort of about how many touch on the ball would you have? How much you want it? Don't get me wrong, you've worked harder to get in there. Now, can you even work harder to stay in there? And I just felt like the more I spend time on the ball, the more I'll have a chance. No saying that Arsenal will give me a chance to play in the first team. I just say I'm given a chance as long as I work harder for it. And I said I wasn't the most gifted footballer in that team, but I had to work harder to be in the team.
It's a great story. It's great. How did your friend get on, Rashid? Did he?
Rashid never made it.
Did he not?
Never made it. But he's my best friend. He's the best friend to my wedding. He's a godfather to my first son. I'm a godfather to his son. So like we're very good friends.
So there wasn't any jealousy or anything?
No. It's not even
hang on a minute. I took him down there.
He was more happy for me, say Fabrice, like, because you work hard, you deserve to be.
Is he one of those talent that never really tried?
Yeah. But I mean, talented is. Anybody at Arsenal would tell you, Rashid, just the name Rashid alone, yeah. Arsenal would be like, oh my God. Like, he was that gifted, and he is gifted.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's mad, isn't
it? It is mad. And then from there, obviously, you took a real gamble coming to Bolton. But it paid off in a big way for you.
Yeah, but even before Bolton, we had to go on loan to Birmingham City. And the decision was more like last week of pre-season, the first team Arsenal were going to Austria as a pre-season camp. Mr. Wenger said to me, listen, I can't guarantee you you'll beat my squad. And this is like, I can't guarantee you beat my matchday squad. But if you stay around, you might get opportunity. And then there's on the other side, you know, Birmingham knocking on the door, said, listen, we just got relegated to the Premier League. Come over, we'll give you a chance to play men's football. And I always tell young players that if you have a chance to play men's football, don't even think about it twice. Just go. And I went on loan. Week later, Nicholas came in, Seb Larson came in. So all three of us went on loan to a well-established Premier League team that's got relegated to the Championship. And we have to earn the right to get into the team. And I mean, it was the best learning experience for me. Best ever. I mean, I would say, as I said earlier, it's the best thing I've done for me.
But I think you've always had, from the little I know of you, you've always had that mentality of work first. And I think that's why you achieved stuff in the game, where perhaps maybe your friend and others haven't done. Do you think that's something that's missing from a lot of young players now, is that they get to the academy and go, made it? Now it starts.
What I see a lot of young players is they like the idea of becoming a footballer, but they don't have the passion, the hunger, the desire to stay down, stay behind, work extra harder, you know. Because, you know, obviously when you're in a team, there's 23-man squad. I can only name 11 people. And if you're not in the 11-man squad, there will be the bench. If you're not in the bench, you're not in the matchday squad. It takes someone with a strong mentality to say, you know what, no problem at all. I'll go back out there. I'll practice. I'll train hard. I'll make sure that by the time we come in training on Monday, regardless of the result, I want to be in the manager's frame of mind. And I don't see many footballers like that. You know, I really don't. And not to be saying I'm better than anybody. I'm just saying a lot of guys that you watch, I can say it's good, but if it really gets hard, does he really have what it takes to like roll his sleeve up and say, let's go, let's work out for the team? And that's how the game is. That's how they look at the game. The game is six. Prime example, Dele Alli. Unbelievable. Came from, MK Don, broke into the first team, big money move to Tottenham. For whatever reason, it's just not the same person. And that different manager, it just gone down and down. Now, Everton, you can't even get to start in 11. So you really have to ask you the question, what is he doing wrong? No, we're saying Dele Alli is a bad player, but it's just that, what is he doing not to be the level that he was at? And that's just boiled down to hard work. You know, hard work. Yes, we all earn good money. Put the money to the side, but the love that you have for football, you're going to have to want to do it, regardless if you got £1 or £10.
I was saying this to Ronnie yesterday, and I was talking about when you first started playing football, whether you're 8, 9, 10, you're 11, no matter what it is, you just want to play with the best players you can at the best level you can. And nowhere does money come into that for years. Even when Ronnie was at Liverpool, when you was at Arsenal, I bet you wasn't even ever thinking about the money. You're just thinking, I just want to play.
Stephen, I remember the first time I was training the first team. That was like Christmas to me. Like I went home after training. First person I call Rashid. I said, Rash, I said, guess what? I said, I trained with the first team. I said, no way. I said, Fab. I said, Rash, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, they were calling me Fab. You're like, Stephen, I was like a kid. And that feeling and that moment, I was like, I want more of this. And the only way you can get it by going out there and putting the shift in. And I just want more of it. And the more you do it, the more happy you feel like. Then the more you're like, nah, this is what I want as a living. If this is one for your living, then you have to put your blood, sweat on it.
We've had a couple of questions coming from members, actually, to you, Fabrice. Yeah. One of them actually ties in with this. This is from Caleb Dietz. This is on our chat, our Telegram chat. And he says, about the sort of player's mentality now, do you think it's changed younger players and their mentality? Do you think it's changed for better or worse? Or do you think it's similar to when you were playing?
The mentality of young players is worse now.
Yeah.
You have got so many people around them who not really looking out for the best interest of the career of the young players, An average playing career, how long do you reckon it is? An average playing football career?
18 to 35, what about?
It's not though, is it? Because 15 most
years.
Are breaking in at 23.
All right, 10, 7, 8 years, yeah.
Six years.
I was going to say 15 until he corrected me.
Six years.
That's nothing, is it?
It's 15 if you're mint.
Yeah, if you're like, okay, fair enough. So 6 years.
6 years.
To make your mark.
You're making marks. But then, not many of them play for 6 years. Not many of them stay at the top for 6 years.
No. It's not 6 years of 38 games either.
There you go.
15 in some of them.
Yeah.
So it's all about, yes, you have the goal, but you have to have the hunger of staying in touch with the game, staying extra doing the work. I don't know, I just say, I went to one of the Premier League training ground. Okay, training ground finished at 12 o'clock. We had a meeting with them at 12:30. The meeting finished at 1 o'clock. By 1:05, the whole training ground was clear. Literally clear.
Yeah.
Everybody went home. You're like, nobody's doing extra work. And that team got relegated at the end of the season.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you, is that something then, in terms of advice, because you obviously, you know, you'll be working with the youngsters now, the 16-year-olds, what sort of advice would you be giving to them? Is that something you'd be saying about doing that little bit extra?
Yeah,
about?
It's not rocket science. Stay behind. Yeah. Let's put that work in. You know, even though that I'm tall, one of the issues that I had coming up in the academy, I couldn't hit the ball.
Right.
And I was fortunate that I had Steve Ball as my coach. And we'll spend 20 to 30 minutes just heading the ball. Just heading the ball. And the key to heading the ball is the timing. And I was just getting the timing wrong. And I mean, every day for about 4 months, I just kept doing that, kept doing that. And it just become normal to me. And I think young players, they're so quick to, once they master, once they go better at it, they stop working at it. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You have to stay behind and practice the game. Practice your weaknesses, because the competition is facing right now.
Yeah.
The pool is not just in England, it's everywhere. If you can't get a player in England, Man City will go to Spain, get the best player in there to get your position.
Yeah.
So you don't want to give people the excuses to not to like you. You have to really put yourself in their position, put in their faces, showing that you're turning up every single day, you're working hard, regardless if you win or lose. And I'll say this, one of the hardest working players I've seen in my two eyes. And this is when we got set up in England under 21 and we were in a tournament. James Milner.
Yeah.
Oh my word. I'll tell you, this guy doesn't surprise me to see where he is now. It does not surprise me one bit.
Does he just put the work in?
Every day.
Yeah.
Not one, every single day. Practice free kick, practice penalty, in the gym, after training, before training. You look at it thinking, this guy doesn't stop. And to see him win the Premier League, win the Champions League, you have to be happy for the guy because he worked hard for it.
I don't know if I do.
I don't know if you're going to get much happiness for that James Milner on this channel.
I played
for City and Leeds and Liverpool.
Yeah.
Good
for him.
Yeah, big fans.
Do you think then, though, obviously you're going to be working for a club now.
Yeah.
Do you say, as a club, we implement extras and make them train afterwards, or do you want to see who's got the character that's self-motivated to train? Because the outcome might not be the same even if they're staying behind.
You got to want it first, but I'm here if you need me.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't keep telling you, go and train. No. Yeah. You have to be inside you.
So you say, listen, lads, you want to do one-to-ones?
I'm here.
You want to do analysis? You want to do strength and conditioning? You want to learn about your diet? Come talk to Uncle Fab. Otherwise,
Otherwise, you don't want to be like headmaster where you're banging people and say, hey, come on. No. It has to come from inside. He said, if I want to do it, then I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to come in and ask questions. And I said, when we were coming up at Arsenal, we used to have a DVD. So everybody in your position, you have a DVD of the first team player in that position. You really have to watch this DVD 30 to 40 times and see how this individual does, see how he plays. Before the stats that come through, we used to just have a DVD and we watch. And I will watch Patrick, I watch Gilberto Silva, I watch Edu, those guys in my position. And you see, okay, this is what they're doing, this is what they do. You just learn by it. And there's a many ways you can learn the game, you know. And with the access of technology and internet, you guys should be spending time and just mastering the skills and trying to get better at it.
Do you want to do that one or do I cut to the ad?
We'll have an ad and then we've got another question that someone sent in for you, Fabrice.
No,
so
worries,
it's a quick advert. Spring has sprung and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning in your pants. Yes, you can get your winter bush looking ready for springtime. And Manscaped have got you covered. And you can also get free shipping and 20% off. There's a link in the description. Because let's have it right. We all want to look our best as the winter months end and the spring ones begun, don't we? Or begin even. We want to look nice. We want to look good for our lady friend or our male friend, whoever it is, just for ourselves when we look at ourselves in the mirror and go, what's going on down there, man? What's all that about? We want to sort it out, don't we? And thankfully, with Manscaped, you can, because you've got the Lawnmower 4.0. Yes, that's the sort of technology we're talking about. None of your 3.0 nonsense. We're on a 4.0. We've got your weed whacker for your nose and hair trimmer. Yes, I'm at that age where I do need to trim my older nasal hairs. And we've also got the crop preserver ball deodorant. You've got your anti-chafing boxes. You've got your little bag there so you can come off the coach like you're one of the players, give a little thumbs up to the cameras, or maybe just get, you know, get your missus or your kids to line up and film you like you are a footballer, if that's the kind of thing you're into. Not that I am. Because let's face facts, we've all met someone where we've gone, look at the nose hair on him. Hey, look at him. Look at the air coming out of his ears. Look at the air coming out of his pants. Jesus, Weps, what's going on there? Needs to sort that out. Don't forget as well, there's more. There's actually more. If you purchase now, you don't get one free gift. You get two free gifts. So make sure you purchase now to get you two free gifts. Your balls will thank you. So click in the link in the description for 20% off and free shipping. If you can have shipping, you want it to be free, and it is. Make sure you click in the link in the description.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Can't so, drink. Vegans can't drink.
Big thanks to Manscaped for that. we've got another question for Fabrice in our Telegram chat for the members. And this says, how were United viewed by Arsenal back then? Were they hated? Were they admired? Was there any bitterness? Did you get any vibe of like any attention towards United?
When you face Man United, regardless if you're the youth level or first team, you know you're going to be in for a tough game. And United, I didn't particularly...
I'm trying to think who your age is.
So when we play United, first in the 8 and the 17 game was, what's his name again?
Sylvain Ebans.
He was up front. Chris Eagle.
Of course, Chris Eagle.
There's a Florent, the midfield player.
N'Golo.
Yeah, him. United were tough.
That was a FA Youth Cup winning side.
Yeah. We end up getting 1-1 as it the game finished 1-1, but United was just a facing United, you have to bring it. It's United, Southampton, very good academy, very produced good players. Charlton, Crystal Palace, always tough. But so, you know, United, Southampton, tough game, yeah.
Tough games. There's a question now for you, Steve. Steve, can you connect Fabrice to Rotterdam 1991?
Definitely. Just give me 20 minutes.
Give him 20 minutes. we've also got another chat question from Damien. Damien Alban says, hi guys, I've been in hospital for 20 days now having a spinal stroke which left me not being able to walk. Any advice from Fabrice up the paddock? I think that's sort of any motivational advice.
Just be open-minded. And obviously when you're next in hospital, you're very much of a close-minded person, and your feeling is all over the place. You know, be open to listen to what a doctor has to say. Yeah. And if they ask you to take medication, take medication. If they ask you to start working out, just work until your body's in the right and older, then you can go back into work. I said, we all have a different medical history, and then I just hope that he get well very soon.
Get well soon, mate. Can you DM us some details in there, and we'll send you a scarf and a flare. Let that off in the hospital. I'm sure that's fine.
Yes, nice. That's the spirit. I wanted to ask you about that. It's the 10-year anniversary of the incident. And what was your recollection of that, if you can remember that day and what happened?
It's like a normal day, like a normal Saturday game where you look forward to. The game was in the evening. It's, I think, 5:30 kick-up, I think. And
the televised game?
It wasn't ESPN back then, before it got into BT.
Yeah.
And, you look forward to the game. I'm excited. I'm comfortable. And I'm like, I know I was playing. And then, as I said, when the game started, so if it's Stephen in front of me, I can see him, but I sit above him. So my vision become blurry, so I can see him, and there's another him next to him. And literally, out of nowhere,
I literally, not far from the halfway line, I just hit my head in the ground. That was the last time I was there with play football. But obviously, you've seen it, I was out for 78 minutes. I couldn't ask for a better place to happen than to happen the football pitch.
But the doctors in the crowd as well, what are the odds? Was he a cardiologist?
Cardiologist,
as well?
I had a cardiologist who cycled to the game. Used his nephew's TK.
Really?
Yeah.
The coincidence.
I know.
Had an ambulance which was 10 seconds away from me.
Yeah.
Had a doctor from two clubs. So they all came together. And when you see image of me being taken up, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
And obviously they had 11 shocked in me just to try to get me going again. And then I said, it happened. It took me 78 minutes to get back in. Then when I got back in, I didn't wake up to wake up. It happened on Saturday for me to wake up. I woke up on a Monday.
Really?
So the 3 days, they weren't sure if I would remember anybody, because they were worried that obviously I didn't have no oxygen for a while.
Yeah,
I'll lose memory. I'll be in a very difficult.
It's incredible, like you're not mentally impaired, and yeah. That you know your memory's intact. Even the fact your memory's intact is wild.
I know. Yeah.
Well, with the memory stuff, I use it to my advantage towards the missus. So. I remember what I need to remember. I don't remember what I
don't remember that day that I died and you're asking me to wash it up.
You know? Nah, I mean, like, you have to make a little bit of life of it, you know. But I'm very fortunate just to be here, to spend time with children, get to meet so many people, and then being able to just live life. I said, not many people who have gone through this road have came out the way I've came out. Any people lost a loved one. Some people come out in a very different, as a completely different person.
Very poorly after.
Very
it as
poor,
well.
Yeah. Very, very poorly. As for me, the only issue that I had is really my memory, and it's getting better, is that I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? I'm okay that I retired from the game of football. It's not a problem at all. I was fortunate enough that I played a game, that with the little talent that I had, I made the most of it, and it was taken away from me because of health issue. No problem at all. As long as I get to stay here, I get to spend time with children, get to meet a lot of people, that's what I can ask for.
How much was you in your own head watching what happened to Christian Eriksen in the summer?
Oh, that was tough. That was horrible. I was at a barbecue, family barbecue, and everybody's outside. I was the one inside watching the game, and I see him fell down.
Own.
Yeah, and I see him fell down, and I'm thinking, no, no, please, no, please, no. Then my wife, aunt, came in and he saw me, and she can see me like I was about to start to tear. I said, please. And to see his missus on the sideline and thinking, like, you almost like, there's a feeling that you really suppressed there. And to see it happen to another fellow professional, and it just, it brings a horrible memory. And you're like, I just, if anything good come out of the Euro, it was seeing Christian alive again. That's the best thing come out of you. Regardless whoever won, I think him being alive and healthy and with his family, that was the best thing. And it was just hard to watch, put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, these are questions. I'm sure there's a dozen questions all in the same sort of thing on that. So, yeah, I mean, one of the good things to come out of what happened with you and even with what happened with Christian is just the increased amount of awareness about defibs at grassroots football and in stadiums and all sorts, isn't it? So you've been a big campaigner for that.
I'm a big advocate of having access to a defibrillator because I know how much impact it had on my life. And we've seen it in a stadium, the Newcastle game, when the fan fell down and somebody who was nearby know how to do CPR and defibrillator help save life. Christian, by the time Christian left the stadium, he was already awake because somebody nearby knew how to do CPR and then had a shock of defibrillator. So it shows you that if a fire extinguisher is accessible in every single building, I think defibrillator should be mandatory. Teach kids how to do CPR. Defibrillator should be accessible to every single building. And even home should have a defibrillator just in case, because you know you never know.
We I used to work in a five-a-side place in the Trafford Centre. You've been now in Soccer Dome, and people were collapsing. And, you know, we used to use a defibrillator at times. Yeah. We've had to use it when I used to work there. So it's vitally important. Like you said, you know, use fortunate might be the wrong word, but at least when it happened to you, had the medical people around you. But you know, a lot of five-a-side places. You know,
is it something? Where, what is it about places? Is it about like? Not in Fab's case, but is it something about like grassroots or five-a-side football that it's people who don't have the strongest cardio systems?
Yeah, you've got you. I know I played
five
football.
Five-a-side's rough.
Yeah, it's like 40 people my age, 40-odd-year-old men who haven't played for a while, just turning up running around, and then all of a sudden it's like, I'm going to be in a bit of trouble here. So it's vital. What was the response like, Fabrice, when you said that? When you said, you know, we need to do something about this and we need to try and get more defibrillators? No, that's obviously something you felt passionate about.
It's been good.
Yeah.
But I think more cases that have risen over the past couple of weeks, couple of months, a year, has even strengthened the importance of having defibrillator and also teaching kids how to do CPR, because as I said, it's, you don't realize how important to happen to you or a close friend of the family. Then you realize, if I had access to the defibrillator, it could have saved he or she life. Do you know what I mean? So it's more of a just keep raising awareness, learning how to do CPR, and hopefully people can take a lot out of it as well.
Yeah. Obviously, it's good to see Christian Eriksen back playing again.
Yeah.
I didn't think he'd ever play again.
I'm in the same boat as you, because I wasn't sure. But, you know, and this is me looking at it from in terms of in the medical field, okay? I was down longer than he was down. He woke up in the same day, probably a couple of minutes. I woke up 3 days after. So there was a lot of chances that landed with him coming back and play football. And in terms of the other side of it, that's between him and the football club. And there's a reason why in Italy, once you have a cardiac arrest, you're not going to play anymore, because they just feel like the safety of players should be a number one priority. Here in England, it doesn't look like that, you know. And as long as he's safe, as long as everybody that's around him know what to do, if you find yourself in that circumstance, you know, I can only give him advice, but at the end of the day, that's his decision.
He has a pacemaker fit, doesn't he?
He has a pacemaker. He has a pacemaker, which is good, because it will give an internal shock if you, again, find yourself in that position.
Can we talk about this? Do you want to explain what...
So basically, a pacemaker is like, best way to describe it is like a seatbelt.
Right.
Your only way you use a seatbelt when you find yourself in an accident.
Yeah.
So when you're driving very fast, you put your foot in the brake very hard. If you don't have a seatbelt, you go straight by the window.
Yeah.
But if you have a seatbelt, you stop and go by the window. So a pacemaker, if you're going through that, your body going through, your heart going through that rhythm, it will stop you. It will give you shocks, which means it'll stop you from having another heart attack. And basically, and then it's like it's this small, this size here,
yeah. You
implant in your chest, and the two wires connected to your artery. Before I was against having it, I wasn't interested in it. I was like, no. And she turned around and said, you don't have it, I'm leaving. I was like, oh, okay, great. So I had it, and that was the best decision.
You've had two?
I had two shocks as well.
Yeah.
Right. I think you said one was at breakfast?
One was at breakfast, my children.
Yeah.
And I just, bang, come back in. And another one, I was just about to get in the car. It happened, but I was happy that I got it.
Yeah, I mean,
how was that?
It is. Just, there's a few people commenting as well, Fabrice, about your age. You're 23.
Yeah.
And you seem sort of very accepting of it. And you're like, almost like, you know, this happened and I was grateful that the career I had and that I played football at the highest level. And is there any sort of feeling about you sort of regret or not regret, even a little bit of anger sometimes when you think, you know...
No, I don't have any regret.
Something was taken from me before, really, you know, my prime.
I don't have any regret because, you know, I came to England, I didn't have a word of English. And I came to England not knowing to become a footballer. And with a little, as I said earlier, with a little talent that I had, I made the most of it and I played the game and I lived most kids' dream.
Yeah.
At some point, my career had to end it anyway. But in my case, it just happened, ended earlier than I expected. So which means I had to change my focus to something different. I said, I don't have no envy against any of the guys that are playing football now. It's great, it's enjoyable. I support them, but I look at it as a job. My job finished early. But it's early that I get to spend more time with my children. So either I take that, move forward, or me not being here and my kids don't have me. So you've got to really look at it in that.
Yeah.
You know? So I said, I'm okay with myself. I don't have
any 23-year-old with that sort of clarity.
That is, yeah, it's impressive attitude, you know, to be able to look at it and go, you know, look at the positives of what you achieved. Not bad considering you turned up at Arsenal and just went, I'm mates with Rashid. Can I have some training?
even that, right? It took me a while to get to this place because I was very much, especially like the first 2-3 years, I couldn't watch football.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't watch football. If I got to watch the football, I couldn't watch people doing warm up either. Yeah. No, that would take me to pieces.
Yeah.
I'll wait to just before the kickoff, then I will go in there. You know, when people line up and shaking hands and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my word, that just Oh, that was hard to watch.
Really?
Yeah. That was very difficult for me. I wait till the boys in the center circle, the referee blow the whistle, then I walk in and go and sit myself.
What a weird thing to trigger you.
Because to me, I know all those guys.
Yeah.
So I see them. And to them have a laugh and a joke about the game, and me sitting aside and thinking, you know, I should be there with them. And not being there with them, it's hard to watch.
I can imagine. And there's loads of comments, loads of people saying you're inspiring. Little Yo-Yo says, Fabrice's story is inspiring. That he's still alive and well and doing the essential things in life is amazing. Nayaskula says...
I can't imagine the perspective that, you know, especially at a club like Bolton, even any club, actually, United City or Chelsea even, you tell the players, listen, lads, you need to be prepared for the fact that you might not play. You lot might not be playing at 21, yeah, let alone 30.
But what you really tend to see, Steve, is that some people, they're in their own world in terms of the moment they walk in the football club, they think they've made it.
That's the issue.
That's the problem. And also you have people around them who worship them to feel like they're the best thing at university, you know. And then you have to really tell them, to listen, it's great that you're here, but this is just a start. It will take so much more for you to stay here long term. And if you don't get it quickly enough, you'll be just another statistic just out the door. And parents need to be reinforce them to children. You know, Stephen, I wasn't allowed out to probably become a first-year scholar. When I become a first-year scholar, and the latest I can come to my house is 10 o'clock. I wouldn't stay long enough because I know I had to work hard. And me and my dad made this pact. Say, listen, if you're going to do this, you do it properly. If you don't want to do it, don't bother. You know, my dad is African, and they more strict about education. And the only way I was able to play football as long as I got my homework done on time. Otherwise, that's not even a discussion.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's just stay in me. And it's just like, if you're going to do it, you do it properly. And if you're going to stay behind practice. If you don't, you're not sure, ask questions.
You want to get a sign up, don't you? Just put 99%. And I'm going, what does that mean? It means 99% you aren't going to make it.
Yeah.
Who's going to work the hardest? Be the 1%er.
Like loads of people saying great podcast. Court Star says, my cousin passed away as a teenager after suffering a cardiac arrest on a football pitch. Yeah, I mean, it's shocking that it does happen to a lot of people. And it's obviously something you're trying to, you know, stop from happening with your work and defibrillators and bringing it in. And hopefully people are getting the message. And because like you said, you know, we're still seeing it now. We're still seeing it.
Yeah,
you've seen Ericsson. It's still...
It's a common issue that's barely people speak about. And I think once it happened to a loved one of yours, and all of a sudden you get a wake-up call, and obviously we're sorry to hear about the loss of his member of family. But I think the most important thing is that we need to have access to defibrillator. Even though the Staying Alive advert, there's a humor behind it, but there's a huge message behind the whole advert, you know?
It's on all FA Level 1 coaching courses now, which I imagine you've had a big part in.
Yeah, I mean, the FA... Obviously, when it happened at FA Cup, a lot of things changed around there. You know, whereas before, they never used to have an ambulance next to pitch side. Now, every single Premier League game, there's an ambulance right next to the pitch side.
It makes so much sense. It's not even just the 11, 12, 22 players.
No.
There's so many people. There's thousands of people come to this place. Percentage-wise, something's going to happen to someone at some point.
Yeah.
Santa Notch says, what is Fabrice's thoughts on the England youth setup? He played a few times. What do you think of the England youth setup?
I was fortunate enough that got to the final under 21. We lost to Germany 4-0. But the funny thing is that same Germany squad that we lost 4-0 went to South Africa, beat England in the quarterfinals, I believe, with Neuer, Ozil, Kadir. And I just think now that a lot of guys are getting opportunity. Whereas before, to get a call up for England, you can play two, three seasons, great season, you never get called up.
Yeah.
But now I think it's more accessible, and I think there's less. I just think because there's less talent of a pool available to Gareth, hence why he picked who he has to pick. But it's more like once you get in there, you've got to make the most of the chance of you. You know, regardless if you're getting it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Just grasp the opportunity. And my team that I played, if I can recall, Theo, Gabby, Mika, Nadim, Joe, Noble.
There's a lot of careers in there.
Yeah, because I remember yeah. that team. Yeah, I remember yeah, the yeah. team like getting to the final yeah. because it was which one I can't remember. There's penalties along the way. Wasn't yeah, one yeah. of the rounds.
We got
I remember
to the
Joe
semi-final.
Art giving someone grief when they were yeah. taking penalties. You know what he's like. Every time someone steps yeah. up to take a penalty, he was giving it. You big man,
you know, leading to the tournament. Yeah. You know how much we practice penalty?
Go ahead.
Every day.
Really?
Every day. After every training session, penalty. Yeah. After every penalty, every day. Every single day. So to get to the final was great, but it's just a shame that we lost against a well-drilled German side, you know. But it was a great experience. Great, great experience.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I mean, that was a German side that had started
the revolution.
Like, revolution
yeah. yeah.
Probably 6-7 years prior to that. Mm-hmm. So you was really seeing, like, the fruit of that. And obviously, yeah. it you know, it went on and won the thing, didn't it, a few
won
years
the thing,
later.
Won the World Cup and won the Euros. You know, and the
genuine golden generation.
Yeah, yeah, it, won, yeah. It won a lot. One of the burning questions, though, that everyone's got and people joining us and I've got is, how did you end up in the dugout with Stephen Nelson? Like, that is the biggest sort of revelation I've heard in my life. when he told me this was going on, I was what?
He asked me, I was like, yeah, I'd love to be in it, you know. And
Pete weren't available.
it was good to see it. Like, seriously, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed yeah. it. And you know, you see the passion come from him and, you know, everything that was on the touchline. Great advert, seriously. Especially the part where he had to stick his leg out. Oh, my word. That just... I was like... And everybody, everybody's going crazy. I'm in touch with thinking, I'm not involved here. I'm staying.
Got the right idea, Fabrice. Seriously. Stay out of that nonsense.
And one part, one of the opposition side walked past him and literally, like, on his face. I said to him, I said, you got some patience in you because I would have just... Then they just lost it there.
Yeah, then I booted him out. Like, not patient forever.
You mentioned quite a few players that you played alongside, yeah. playing against. Who's the I know it's an old question, but it's always interesting to know who's the toughest opponent you played against.
It's got to be Jeremy Lynch, right?
Yeah, well, people asking about this, Jeremy Lynch.
You're not a YouTube kid, are you?
I'm sorry, I know I'm on YouTube, but I don't know this. Jeremy Lynch, what is this?
He
Jeremy
was at
Lynch?
Arsenal in the academy, which he must be a similar age to you. No.
This is a guy went on X Factor, yeah?
Right.
And
Britain's Got Talent. Britain's I know about this. Yeah, yeah. So this
he,
guy,
the part where he
footballer.
Said he was at Arsenal.
Yeah.
And
he was the most technical.
He was the most technical player Arsenal ever seen. And
I think, yeah, vaguely.
He's a year above
this.
Me.
Right.
So I called somebody who's a year above me. And I called the head scout at that time who's still there. I said, do you remember this guy? He said, no. Thank you. There's a video of him playing, but I don't think, like, this is not, we're not having a bigger head. This, I don't think he was actually like in the academy. But he, to go on national TV to say that, you're like.
So he claimed that Arsene Wenger said that he was the most
technically gifted player you've ever seen.
Right.
And you're like, you do know. I mean, I'll give Terry Henry shit just as on a rivalry front. But yeah. Let's be honest, he were pretty good.
Fabregas was all right as well, wasn't he?
Yeah,
there's some decent players there. You know what I mean? Like, so
to come that quote, you're thinking, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Why say things like that as well when you can get found out when you can just ring up the scout and go,
Arsenal. Yeah. People have heard of him.
Like, yeah.
No, but you're
it's
like.
Demonstrably false, you know what I mean?
If you I'm like, that's a bold statement right there. You're thinking, the man, the player that come through that door, and for you to say, I was
technical
the
club as
well. Technical club.
Like,
for you to say that, you're thinking, okay, I mean, listen. He done well for himself anyway.
Well, yeah, because I keep hearing about him. He's popped some in the comments and I see like these things. I don't really know a lot about him, but I hear this Jeremy Lynch name bandied about a lot. And
Big
the news
Sam.
On Britain's Got Talent.
Big Sam.
Big Sam?
How good was Big Sam?
Sam is very good. Very, very good. In terms of mentoring management, Sam top draw. I mean, anybody who played for Sam will tell you. Sam knows how to get the best out of the team. He knows his players' strengths and weaknesses. He knows how to motivate the squad, you know. Can't always keep everybody happy, but once you're in there, you walk across brick wall for Big Sam because you know what you get from him. You know, but Big Sam will tell you, Or next week, we don't have the FA Cup. You win the weekend, well, I give you 4 days off. And that's for player, you're thinking, okay, we win the weekend, our 4 days off. You get motivated. It's a little thing that psychologically have an impact on the players, and guys grasp to that. And Big Sam is very good at doing that. You know, he knows when to take you out of the fire, he knows when to put back in, you know.
What was it like working as well? You obviously worked with Big Sam. What was it like working with Arsene Wenger? Did you have a lot of dealings with him? Because obviously you went out on loan.
Yeah, when you started to work around the first team, Arsenal, it was very, very, especially before like match day, the level of detail we're going with in terms of technical, tactical stuff was too good.
Yeah.
Too good. And as time goes on, I just think a lot of clubs have caught with them. But you know, he will get everybody else around him. He will put mannequin on the floor. He will bend down and he will explain people what to do in terms of, you know, personnel, how to how people play. And obviously, when you have so many good players, you don't have to talk too much to them. They just pick up a lot of things and they'll run with it. And Arsene was very good at that as well. And he knows how to motivate the team.
You've met him, haven't you? Did
Arsene,
yeah,
it's one of them. Like, you want to hate him, but you can't hate him. He's a football statesman.
Yeah.
Like, when he talks, you got to listen. Otherwise, you're just an idiot. Like, there's so many nuggets he'll drop without knowing.
Yeah.
That you just got to listen to him. And he was talking about a lot of stuff on us as a company. We did the future of football FIFA event, of which Arsene was hosting, and Rio was asking him questions and stuff. And it was really good, to be honest. And the headline stuff was like making matches 60 minutes and things like that. But when you look into the, like, if you want to give real world examples of that, you know, the ball was in play for 11 minutes for the last 30 minutes of the Atletico
game.
Yes,
it was.
Well, this would have prevented that.
Right.
Because what it was going to be is like the ball's only in play for about 54, 55 minutes per 90. I don't know how many of you are aware of that.
Yeah, I know it's
because every time it goes out for a throw in, every time it goes out for a goal kick, the clock's just running.
Yeah.
Every time someone's dicking around, the clock's running. Well, the proposal was to make it 60 minutes of ball in play. So anytime the ball goes out, clock stops.
Right, okay.
So it's a big adjustment to make to that, but you would actually get 60 quality minutes of football.
Yeah.
Because I know people like Stoke, they could play 44 minutes in 90 of ball in play.
Really?
Yeah. And that was something that they would go for. Footballing teams that are going to keep the ball on the deck and knock it around a bit, it does end up in play a little bit more, and the opposite is true for teams that go a bit more direct. But you know, that was one of the things. And when you see the headline in one of the newspapers, you go, I'm not having this. What's it on about? And then you actually get the explanation. You go, yeah, I'm for that. It's more football.
Yeah,
more football at football. Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
And then you kill it. Like, we had 19 minutes of time wasted in 30 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, it was bad. Like the Atletico Madrid game was so frustrating.
It cuts a load of that on the head.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah, obviously Arsene Wenger. Who was the player of all of the players you played alongside that on your team that was a sort of the best player you played alongside, or someone that stands out?
When I came to the Arsenal first team, I trained with Patrick for 6 months. Then Patrick went to Juventus.
Right.
And I had Gilberto and Edu. Edu's very, very good footballer. Yeah. Very, very good footballer. Dennis is technical. And like out of this world. Out of this.
Even better than Jeremy Lynch.
No comment. Dennis is incredible. Robin, when he came in, he was very slow,
really?
But Robin just went, literally the improvement, it was just ridiculous. Yeah, Robin. You said the usual one, Thierry and Dennis. That surprised me the most that went on, it was Song.
Really?
Because when Song came in, you're like, okay. Okay, I know Arsene needs to know how to pick player, but this one here, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But Alex just went from work to work, and it got better.
Who's the centre half that he signed by mistake?
Was it Senderos?
Philip.
Was it like people winding him up and he
signed? No, it wasn't that. I mean, Philip is
Stepanos.
Oh, no, Stepanos. Yeah, was it Stepanos? Not Philip Senderos. Sorry, Stepanos. Was that like I think it was
Keon
and like winding him up on a friendly.
I can understand that because you know Martin's always a joker anyway. You know? But whenever you got across the trend, the first team. just you got to pick learn a lot from those guys, you know.
I mean, it's such a team. When you're naming players there, you're like, yeah. And I remember hating these players as a United fan, like, because we had some battles with Arsenal.
I always remember the game United played against Arsenal when Roy and Patrick was at each other's faces.
Yeah,
I was right at the back.
Well, yeah,
because I came in late, and because we at Highbury, if you watch Highbury closely, where the Arsenal bench is, right behind it, that's where the academy, let's say. We had the best seat in the house. And I walked in late, and you can see Patrick and Roy pop on each other's throat. Like, I'll do this to you. You will see. You're always a good guy. I'm not a good guy. And Patrick went straight to Gary. That's what it tricked him off. And I was like, peeking behind, you know?
What's going on?
Yeah. Like, you're like, and then you sit there, you think, wow, man. And when you see this kind of stuff, you're thinking, you've got to be motivated to become a footballer. Not just that. But that feeling, that ambience that you've got, that competitive edge, like, I want to be part of it, you know?
That's still one of the best Premier League games ever. Yeah.
It is. Do you think we lost a little bit of that? Oh, because yeah. I don't see that sort of... No. Now, even when you have these big teams or these rivalries, and United still have them, no, we're not exactly challenging for league titles, but there doesn't seem to be that level of almost hatred and anger.
Yeah, I think...
It's like you everybody's don't really see
so
that.
Everybody's so friendly towards each other, which is
bring back hating people.
I know, but you see it after the game, people like rival players taking selfies together.
De Gea did it with, was it Llorente after?
Yeah. After the, was it the Villarreal?
On Tuesday night.
Oh, on Tuesday. Sorry, I thought it was one after the Europa League. Was it after the Atletico game? He did one with Llorente. Oh man, I didn't realize that.
In the tunnel, big grin.
Oh wow!
This is what I mean, man. I miss the days of. Yeah, Roy Keane trying to kill someone
gripping
in the tunnel.
People by the throat and that.
What are you talking about? So I'm going to say you two do more. You joining Steon anymore?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. When the camera will come in again, and I'll bring him to Bolton, come watch some of my young boys.
Yeah, I love a bit of that.
Come show them what to do and stuff like that, you know?
This is quality. I hope you're going to document this. I want to see the video on this.
I'll tell him to come over. Yeah. Come on, here's a boy, 16 of them, take a session. I'm outside, I'll let you do it. It's no problem.
Bolton's Academy ain't got a clue, have they? What are they going to get? He's like, I don't know why they all crawling before on the floor, Steve. What's going on? Why are they all doing press-ups?
Before session, I'm like, Stephen, just... down, do what I need to do.
Only say
just
45 fucks, all right?
Don't lose it, okay?
They're 16. You can't hit them. You can't hit more than one of them.
Yeah.
Fabrice, man, it's been such a pleasure having you on and chatting to you. It's the first time I met you.
Thank you.
It's been an inspiration. Loads of people in the comments have been saying the same thing. It's been inspiring listening to you. And glad you're back in football as well, coaching. I know you've been doing stuff but back at Bolton as well.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit sad as well, isn't it, what happened with Bolton in terms of, like, I know we've not got, as United fans, we haven't got a massive affinity to them.
As a United fan, no.
But there is a little bit of that. Yeah, all right, I get where you're coming from, but...
It would have been nice to have Bolton, Blackburn all in the Premier League because it was marketing stuff around the Northwest, you know?
For Bolton and Fabrice, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Because those two need to be back together. Yeah. That's, you know,
not just Bolton, but like with Berry, we've seen with Macclesfield struggling, Wigan struggling, the whole North, like especially Greater Manchester teams, there was a time when it looked like none of them were going to make it other than United and City. So. It's good that you're back there, and hopefully,
I do love how strong football is in the region, and that is a part of, you know, that's if you look at the 10 boroughs of Manchester, you know, Rochdale's got no right to have a professional football team, yet it does.
Yeah,
Bolton, you've got a team in there. You've got Wigan in the mix. You've got obviously Salford City now doing bits. You know, you come all the way back around. You've got Stockport flying at the moment. You come around to Tameside. No professional team, about a million non-league teams. Yeah. Literally no right to have that many non-league teams in the mix that they've got there. And then obviously you come into the city centre and you've got all sorts going on. Football in the greater Manchester region is very, very strong. And
here's one for you, Stephen. Are you making Champions League this year?
Oh.
Me and Joe spoke about this earlier. I think Arsenal are going to cock it up royal, but we won't take advantage. They're going to drop plenty points that we should take advantage of, but won't.
And then another one. If you're the manager at United today, who are you chopping off? So for them not to come back in for next season, who you literally say, you know what?
There's 14 of them. Can we get a list? Go on, do you want to tell you who I'm keeping?
Who you're keeping? Who you're chopping off?
Hang on, let me get you there. I'll get you who I'm getting. I've got a list.
Just while you're looking for your list, do you think United or Arsenal get top four? Who do you think?
Yeah, I think Arsenal, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 points in hand and a point clear.
I know, I can't
It's not going to hinge on that game we play against.
I don't think we'll beat him in the Emirates.
Right, here's who I'm getting rid of. Pogba, Henderson, Ronaldo, Cavani, Lingard, Pereira, Tuan Zebe, Van der Beek, Matic, Mata, Marshall, Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Dalot and Shaw.
Van der Beek has been decent at Everton.
Has he though?
Yeah, I just think he's got given a random game where he's showing him stuff. I think it just... Because with him, you can tell, he know if it's up for United,
yeah.
After 55 minutes, he's getting hooked. You can see in his body language. He knows he can score a hat-trick first half. After 60 minutes, Holly be like, come on.
He does look dead, though, after 60 minutes. He don't look like he's got 90 in the tank.
But he came in look a bit...
It's funny you named all those players, including Maguire, and you didn't bat an eyelid, but Van der Beek. Like, it shows you, right?
You look at it, you're thinking... There is in him. There's something in him.
Yeah.
But it just...
Maybe if Ten Hag comes in, he might be the one that goes 180, like a new signing. Someone who knows what he's actually all about and how to play him.
He's got a bit of a cult following anyway with a lot of United. Yeah.
He's got a big cult following. They've all jumped off Marshall's dick on it, with.
Yeah, and they love him.
Freddie's been good, though.
Fred in the opposite half. Like a new player. Like, yeah. He found out he was Brazilian.
Then I think like on a Wednesday, when he did that skill on the by the corner bit, I like... Is that his twin brother or is that Fred himself?
Yeah, not only is he just doing normal shit now.
We were the same. We were like,
he's fucking out. Yeah. Where's his heels and all sorts of stuff.
Do you know what I mean? So Fred's been a surprise success story recently, hasn't he?
It's just honestly, he needs like two more good games to be player of the year.
I know, you're not.
Who has been the most disappointing one?
That's a good question.
This year?
Yeah.
Marcus.
Oh. Really? Over the course of the season? Checking.
Yeah, because I thought... Get your injury, get over your injuries, get your operation. And he's just been a waste of a shirt this year. I think his is a form and a mental thing, and I think he will come right. Maguire, I think he can't play what we're trying to play.
What have you made of it watching United? We were talking earlier about, the great United teams and the sort
it's
of...
It's almost like they're there, but they're not there.
Yeah.
And when they turn up, it's good. When they don't turn up, they're like, I'm not sure. They're easy to get at. They're very easy.
What was the last time we kept a clean sheet?
And also like...
Was it Watford? We drew Watford. We kept them down to 0-0. Proud of that one, lads. Jesus. Made it hard for them.
Hey. What's his name?
Though.
Wan-Bissaka?
Yeah.
You're like, I know why they bought you.
There's a ringing endorsement.
I know what they bought you.
There's a big ass book coming here.
Yeah.
Going forward, you're not giving me what I want to see. You know, you're not giving me what Kyle Walker's giving Man City. You're not giving me what Trent was giving. You're not giving me what Asoa Kotsi is giving Chelsea.
Yeah.
So if we're going to compare a player, you know.
We wasted 130 million on him and Maguire. Which for a season looked like a decent signing.
No, it did. Look, you're right. You know,
Would you call it desperate buy at that more particular time? Because now people have been exposed.
No, I think we bought them to play a certain way, but because we're not, I don't think we're run right, and I don't think the planning was there. If the planning was there, we'd have said, look, in 5 years' time, we want to be a team that dominates the ball, creates chances this way, defends on a halfway line, and no one in their right mind was going to sanction signing Harry Maguire for 80 million in a team that was going to do that. Wan-Bissaka, I think you maybe thought you could coach more into him because he was a bit raw.
Yeah.
But 130 million on those when there was Hakimi was available, mm-hmm. and I don't know any centre half above League One was available.
Wasted a lot of money, haven't we? We have. It's going to be difficult. And like you just named, what was it, 14 players there?
I think it was 15.
15.
It was a free transfer. Pogba.
Pogba's going.
Hendo won't be, it'll be a free. I think.
Cavani goes as well. Cavani Lingard goes.
No one's going to pay for Ronaldo if he goes. It'll just be released.
Yeah, so there's a few. Yeah. This is the problem as well. I don't think we're going to bring in that much money.
I didn't even mention Phil Jones. But let's be honest.
Yeah.
He needs to go.
He's going to go, innit? So, yeah, it's going to be a rebuild, a massive rebuild, really.
But also, you're going around building a new stadium, or is it a refurbishment at Old Trafford?
He's not. He thinks that's nonsense.
Are we bollocks?
I think so. I think it should be...
No, I mean... I can understand the desire.
Yeah.
Reality. They already owe 700 million that they ain't paid off. Oh, what sort of credit card have we got?
I don't know.
They can blast a billion on it for a new stadium. How about buy a fucking team?
Yeah.
If in the next 4 years you win the title, you win some. You go back three silverware. Do you reckon the idea of rebranding Old Trafford would have been a good idea, marketing wise? Because right now you're just going through history.
Do you know what it is?
I'm all for it. I'm all for a new stadium. Me
for 17 I'm in a minority years, though. They've not even put a baby wipe around them at stanchions on the front. Yeah, we've not even bought a Karcher to jet wash the bastard thing. What makes you think we're going to spend $1 billion? Like if we built a stadium, they'd tell you it was going to be amazing, and it'd be built by the cheapest idiot they could find. Since the Glazers come, they haven't spent a penny on Carrington. They haven't spent a penny on the stadium. They've only started spending since we started to fuck it up after Moyes went on the football team. They've spent more on the debt than they have on any transfer or anything collectively. What makes us think that demolishing Old Trafford and building the fucking Condom Depot Arena would be any fucking like best in class? We've done nothing best in class.
Oh God.
We can hope and dream, but it feels like that's all it is. We don't really trust the owners.
So you're not sure by next season, so then?
I think I'm prepared to give Richard Arnold the benefit of the doubt because I know that he's putting a lot of work in behind the scenes, and I'm hopeful, but not confident, that he can change the rot. I think under the leadership of Ed Woodward, United crumbled big time, made mistake after mistake after mistake. I think getting Ralph Ragnick in was the first step on one path. But you've got to start putting one foot in front of the other on that path and not come back down a different path.
That's the thing, you know, you look at the amount of money. The Glazers have taken all this money out of the club, but look at the way we've wasted money as well. We've spent so much money on players that just aren't good enough.
Yeah, and who aren't here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and the wages and everything. It's a mess at the minute for Breeze.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting is one way to put it. But thanks again.
Cancer,
yeah, very interesting. Interesting.
No, fucked is the word you're looking for.
Breeze, thanks for coming on. We'll get you on again. And you can tell us more about your adventures with Stephen Howson. What are you doing this weekend?
Fuck all, Jay.
I know. It's the best way, man. Football's overrated.
UFC's on. Shout out to Mohamed Mokaev, my mate, making his UFC debut.
Oh, really?
On my channel?
Oh, yeah, fucking hell. Hey, of course, sorry.
Come on. Is this your first rodeo or what? Come on.
So Fabrice has got his own YouTube channel.
I do
don't
a match.
Do it, Fabrice.
No. I like to do match analysis. I like to... Yeah. Just think.
Have we got a link for this in the description?
We'll throw a link in
the description. So what are you doing on analysis?
Just match analysis, but the preview of the game and then see what I think. What's right, what's wrong, and you know.
All games or any teams in
particular? No, I do all
games.
Go on,
let's see if we can get him like an extra 500 subs or something right off the back of this. Just search for Breeze Mwamba channel, you'll find it. If the link's not in there already, but it should be in there by now.
Yeah, we'll get that on. So yeah, so you enjoying that?
That's good. I disappointed that I didn't get into it earlier than, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think... So
in it now?
Yeah. I'm in it now. You're right. I mean, it's a great way to showcase your talent, but also having your opinion about football.
Yeah,
you know, and it's your own platform. You can agree to disagree. I'm happy to have people to have a conversation with. If I'm right, I hold my hand up. If I'm wrong, say, listen, I'm sorry. So, I think YouTube is a platform for. I think more ex-players should have their own YouTube channel and showing, you know, the football knowledge.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny now because we've had a few ex-players on here and they've said a similar thing on this. I'm like, you know what? Never thought about it really before, but once you start getting into it, it's easy to get into and it gives you that platform and people obviously want to hear what you've got to say. So make sure you are checking out. There we go. We've got a link in the chat. So there's a link in the chat there. Go and click on that. Check out Fabrice's channel. Make sure you subscribe to it. It does all the preview and post-match analysis and all that.
It's Fabrice Mwamba 6 on YouTube if you want to go check it out.
Yeah, good
stuff.
Thank
you.
And you're just watching UFC?
Yeah, I'm going to watch UFC. Take the messes out. You know, keep it easy.
Right, yeah. Well, this has been The Brew with Fabrice Mwamba. Thanks for coming on. And me, Jay, and Stephen Howson. Make sure you are liking, sharing.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing the rundown tomorrow night.
Oh, right, well, go on then. Quick, tell us about that.
I'm getting fucking twisted tomorrow night. Come join us.
Right, there you go. He's on his rundown on his channel. Big shout out to Manscapes as well for sponsoring this show. Thanks for watching.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.